Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to another game week version of the Cards Cast as Louisville has their home opener on Thursday night. Murray State, FCS in-state opponent, coming into LNN Stadium. It's the Jeff Brohm home opener as well. His first game as head coach of the Cardinals at LNN Stadium. So a lot to be excited about, especially the Cardinals coming off that thrilling comeback win over Georgia Tech last Friday night. I'm Cardinal Authority senior writer Mike McCammon, joined by publisher Jody Demling. And Jody, that buzz that started surfacing the moment they introduced Jeff Brohm as head coach is now upon us. I mean, you get that first win, the buzz continues to grow, and now that home opener that so many people have been looking forward to is now just days away.
Yes, it is. It's ridiculous that it's only a couple days because we need more time to prepare. No, it's actually it's actually good to have a little quick turnaround. So, because, you know, the thing of it is, Michael, they didn't play great. They got away with the win, and I think the guys really want to kind of get back out there. So a short week doesn't hurt this week, and having it be in Murray State, I think, does help. And then we'll get into kind of a little bit of a rotation, you know, moving forward, although we still have a couple of weeknight games, you know?
Yeah, you know, and one of the things I'm looking forward to with this Murray State game is when you look back at the Georgia Tech game, you look at the offensive line, basically five guys played, you know, and you saw that in a couple spots where the rotation really didn't go as deep as we were expecting, and maybe we were expecting too much of a rotation for the first game, but I think we're going to start to see more guys, you know, start to rotate as well, so we'll get a little bit more idea of how talented, how ready that depth is at multiple different spots. So a lot of things to get excited about for this game, other than the off the field excitement, to, you know, things such as Jeff Brohm's first game and stuff like that. So, you know, you pointed out in a video you did for Cardinal Authority today, I think we're going to see an improved team this week.
Yeah, no, I think we are. I think we're definitely going to see not only an improved team, but I think we're going to see a team that's kind of hungry to show people what they really are, Michael. And I don't think we saw that last week. I think we saw glimpses of it because I think this defense can be pretty good. I think they can be pretty hard-nosed and kind of tough and gritty. And I think this offense, I know people think it's going to be just fling it all over the field with Jeff Brohm, but I really think this offense is going to be predicated by the run. And I think you saw that. A glimpse of that in week one with the offensive line doing what they did. Now, moving forward, I think the big thing for the offensive line in the running game is they need to get more guys involved. And, you know, I don't mean even the running backs because those guys didn't touch it a lot. if I'm Jawar Jordan, I think I'm a little upset until the end of the game that I wasn't getting touches. But Isaac Grindo looked really good in there. And I thought for a while, I thought, okay, Isaac's getting all the touches. Well, he wasn't. He only got six touches. he got a couple out of the backfield, I think, too, you know, receiving, but I'm talking running back touches. So it was seven for Jordan, seven for Turner, and six for Grindo. I think that's going to be kind of how it is they're going to have to take advantage of, what it is, what they do best. And that is, you know, run the ball. And I think that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, I think we're going to continue to see the continued strong play from the Louisville running game, and you really got to tip your hat to the offensive line as well. And like I mentioned, look forward to seeing how that rotation develops. But man, that first team O-line, I mean, they really did their job keeping guys clean, not letting, you know, negative plays occur, you know, and that's a trend you certainly want to, you know, continue. But you talk about building some confidence with your first team offensive line, and they certainly did that. And the way the defense, you know, bounced back after the halftime break, and it wasn't just the defense that bounced back, obviously both sides did, but to really basically pitch a shutout until you went into a prevent defense, which Brom said, you know, maybe we were in that a little bit too much, you know, during his comments on Monday. I mean, that was a fantastic effort. I mean, you had guys getting into the backfield, making big plays, be it Ashton Gelati, Dez Tell, you know, and that's what you want from your defense. So if they're able to continue to improve on both sides of the ball, which we saw in the second half, then yeah, I like where this season could potentially go for these Cardinals.
I found it very interesting that down on the field and listening and watching to those guys as the game was going on, I think, and then listening to Coach Brom today and Coach Hagan, Mark Hagan, the co-offensive or co-defensive coordinator, I felt it interesting because I kind of was like, they were out of position. It felt like they were a little slow getting the calls in, and that's exactly what the coaches said. Yeah. Some guys were out of position at times, and Coach Brom blamed it on the defensive staff in being slow in getting some calls in. And the two of the touchdown plays, if you go back and watch it on TV, and I think you can even see it on the highlights, but two of the touchdown plays, one of them, I think it's the Cooley, longer Cooley run. There's a couple guys just seconds before the ball is snapped, still looking at the sideline and not really in their stances. Yeah. And one of the other touchdown plays as well, there's at least one or two guys that kind of don't know what maybe the call is because it was a little too late that it was called in or that was signaled in. So I think that was big. And I think that's something that Ron English had to – obviously, he started working it out at halftime or whatever they did different in the second half. It worked better. So I think that is where this has to move forward. And I think that this – you know – it's the first game for everybody. And honestly, yes, he's been the defensive coordinator before, should have gotten the calls in a little bit quicker, but the guys that he's signaling to are not necessarily all of the same guys who were there before. They got all new GAs and QCs. I mean, there's a couple of them that are still around from Purdue, but for the most part, it's a lot of different guys. And I think it is a little bit of an adjustment. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt for that one quarter. They made up for it. They came back. They played great in the second half. They won the game. The offense scored 5 out of 6 possessions in the second half. Even though you want touchdowns, at least you know you got a kicker who can make that. So, Michael, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say, hey, you got to win. Now let's make this week look prettier and let's get a big win this week. That would be nice.
Yeah, and one of the things that you like to hear, and we heard it during the post game from Jeff Brom himself. We heard, you know, Jeff Brom mentioned it again on his Monday press conference. Mark Hagan referenced it, you know, that the coaches are quick to accept responsibility. Mark Hagan today said, you know, Ron English came up to us and said, hey, that's on me. You know, and he wasn't the only coach saying, hey, that's on me. Jeff Brom said, hey, I made mistakes. We all made mistakes. You know, so it wasn't just, you know, players being a line wrong or not understanding what they're supposed to be doing. It was a full team effort in the second half. And it's great to hear that, you know, the coaching staff say, hey, put that on my shoulders. But at the same time, acknowledge, okay, players, you need to up your effort as well. As we heard Jeff Brom saying, you know, if you're not giving more effort than the next guy next to you or across the field, then you may not be playing the rest of the year. But whatever that halftime speech was, it certainly worked, you know. And you know, something I asked Mark Hagan about today, and I think it also played a massive role, was that early loss of Ben Perry on the questionable targeting call. You know, we heard Mark Hagan today say, you know, that was kind of a rough call there. Because
by the way, it wasn't questionable. It was not targeting. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I was being a little bit more politically correct, but I think that played obviously another huge role. I mean, Ben Perry, I mean, you picked him as a likely MVP for this defense, and you lose a guy like that can impact in so many ways. We've heard about how he's kind of like a utility knife, you know, Swiss Army knife kind of guy for this defense. And you lose a guy with his experience and that much value at multiple spots on the field so quickly in a game, that, you know, that's going to, you know, cause some problems from your defense as well. So looking forward to seeing him back on the field, you know, the continued improvement, both from the coaching staff and the players on being quicker, getting things, you know, signaled in and all that, and seeing how that does improve. Cause that's something that you know, it's kind of, you're playing against yourself in those kind of situations. So it doesn't really matter who the opponent is. You can kind of still track on how they improve in those type of things. And certainly having Ben Perry out there will make a huge impact.
Yeah, totally will. And I think that, you know, we need to get the special teams in a minute as well. We're taping this and I'm watching the Clemson special teams just go nuts because they can't get things right tonight. But anyway, Michael, I think the defense with Ben Perry in there, obviously, you know, he wasn't going to make up for being out of position and all that kind of good stuff. So, I think, again, they're going to – I think that shows the depth where they have built a little depth, okay, and that's in the secondary at least, okay. Antonio Watts played a really good game. He played a really good game coming in there for Ben. And filling in for him. I think Ben, it was the second series for Ben Perry. And if I'm not mistaken, he only played 7 or 8 snaps. Antonio Watts ends up with, over 65 snaps, almost the most snaps of anybody on the defense. That was Riley and Minkins. And they're going to stay in there. Those two guys are going to stay in there quite a bit with Brownlee and, Devin Neal. And that's where – I just think the defense, we've seen that secondary, or we've heard them talk about that secondary. And I think that is going to be something this year that is going to be where they're going to be able to hang their hat on a little bit is the guys back there. Now they're going to need some other guys to step up. Storm Duck had a couple of good moments. Cam Kelly didn't play a ton. He's got to get better. And has got to come out there and help them out, and I think you just got to see some other guys, somebody else, if it's Marcus Washington or somebody like that, is going to have to log some minutes at some point because you're going to need some extra bodies out there. That's what worries me a little bit. That and the linebackers still worry me as far as depth because of the injuries in the secondary that they have and linebacker, just kind of the lack of it. TJ Quinn and Jalen Alderman were fantastic.
Yeah.
For the most part, they weren't great in the in the first part of the game or in the second quarter, but they were pretty good. They were pretty good throughout. Now, let me just go one thing while we're talking defense here. In that second quarter, 2 big plays. Okay, 2 very, very big plays. Jackson Hamilton and Keith Brown both missed tackles. Louisville didn't have a ton of missed tackles. If I'm not mistaken, going back in my mind and I'm thinking about it, I wrote it down somewhere in my, while I was watching, I was rewatching the game and I wrote it down somewhere and now I can't find it. But if I'm not mistaken, it was one for Hamilton and Brown because they were on the big, big plays in the first half. There was one for Alderman and then the one on the screen pass by Minkins that he just overran him and tried to get him with his shoulder. So that was 4 of them. I think Watts had 1, and I think that was all they had, Michael. So while it seemed like a lot because they came in a short period of time, this team actually did a pretty good job of tackling.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah, it was just a really strange quarter all the way around. And certainly something that, they quickly fixed and look to continue to shore up as they get into the next week. And I know we want to talk special teams for this next Thursday. But before that, we got to talk a little Jack Plummer. I mean, we've heard, Jeff Brohm talk about during the season that, I guess one of his weaknesses as far as Jack Plummer goes is sometimes he presses, you know, and tries to force things a little bit because he's trying to make that big play. And even though we hear that and we know that coming in, how stunned were you during that first half? I mean, it was just, I mean, it was difficult seeing a quarterback that you expected so much from to just struggle to, you know, to get the ball to a receiver.
I kept thinking in my mind, though, of what Coach Brohm had said over and over again during camp. And one thing you don't like to hear a coach say about your quarterback, but he's been around him a long time and he kept saying it over and over again. And Michael, you and I talked about it on our podcast last week, on the pregame podcast last week. He can be streaky. Yeah. And unfortunately, or I guess fortunately, the streak didn't kill him this time as far as in a loss. But he got streaky in the second half. Now, I think – Here's what I think. I did think he pressed. I thought Jack looked really nervous. Like, I thought he looked super nervous going into that game. I thought he was jittery. I thought when Jimmy Callaway dropped that ball early on, that he pressed a little more than probably he would have. If Jimmy Callaway catches that ball, he might score. It was like a slant. It was like a quick slant. And he had the cornerback on his back hip. The cornerback might tackle him. If he does, it's inside the 10-yard line. Louisville's got first and goal. If he doesn't, it's a touchdown. I think after that, not only was Jack, but I think some of the other guys on the offense, I think they did tighten up a little bit or a lot. And I think it took a while for Jack to get out of it. Now, this goes to show you, to me, in my mind, how good Jeff Brohm is as a play caller, because I thought they came out in the second half. I was standing with Jeff Brohm walking on the field as he was doing the ESPN interview, and he kept mentioning to get tougher, to get smarter, to get tougher, to get smarter, to get tougher, to get smarter, over and over again in different answers. But he also made mention that when they asked him about Jack, he said he just needs to take it easy and do the easy things. And I thought the first series was a very easy play call for him as far as coming out. You get a reverse, you come out, you get an easy little toss, pitch and catch out to the sidelines. You get a nice run by and another little toss to Garrido. I just thought Jeff Brohm was a master play caller. That's where you saw, I thought, the play calling come out right there. Yeah. He really took it out of Jack Plummer's hands and basically gave him some easy plays to get relaxed. They didn't score a field or a touchdown. They got a field goal. And I thought to myself, man, that might keep him a little tight, but it didn't, because the defense then got a stop, got the ball back, and then moved right down the field and get a touchdown. So it was a really good play call early on in that quarter, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was the type of first half performance where if it's not a six-year quarterback, a quarterback that has spent multiple years learning from Jeff Brohm, understanding the offense as in depth as he does, he may have gone with somebody else in the second half. You know, but in that situation, you know, even I was like, I don't know how you can come back with a guy that's struggling so much in a game like this that means so much. And, you know, first game of the Brohm era, you know, trying to get off to a good start. You want to win now, as we've heard from Jeff Brohm say. You know, so for him to stick with them, and like you were saying, the play calling to start that second half, you know, he knew, look, I'm going to stick with them, but we've got to get something going. And you're right. I thought the play calling coming out was fantastic. And then as Jack did start gaining some confidence, calming down a little bit, he still made some great throws, or he started to make some great throws, but, you know, still wasn't a perfect second half. I mean, much better, but, you know, still a little behind some guys, a short here and there, but much improved, and certainly helped Louisville come back to a victory. But, you know, we could point at a lot of guys, Jody, on who was the MVP of this game. One of them that certainly should get some strong considerations, Brock Travels did.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, if you listen to the podcast, if you read what we, you know, Michael and I were kind of posting and talking about when we were talking about the punter job over the course of the last few weeks, we kind of gave you a little bit of a hint that we thought it was going to be Brock Travelstead. That's what it looked like. It's what it sounded like. And that's what it ended up being. By the way, not one true freshman played a snap on either side of the ball for Louisville. The only true freshman that actually played in the game was Stanquan Clark, and that was on special teams. Not one true freshman played a snap on either side of the ball for Louisville in that game. Think about that for a second. So Jeff Brohm, he doesn't want to put those guys in that situation. He said it last week in his press conference, and I don't think people really remember, or I don't think people believed him, that he wouldn't do it. You know, Jamari Johnson's going to play. I think we'll see him this week. Stanquan Clark, he's going to play. I think we're going to see him this week. Adonijah Green, he's going to play. I mean, I could go on and on and on with you know, five or six guys that are going to play. But he wasn't going to put Carter Schwartz out there in the first game, like he wasn't going to put those guys out there in the first game. Now, the fact that Brock Travelstead went out there and did what he did in the first game might mean Carter Schwartz might not get a lot of opportunities this year as a true freshman, because Brock Travelstead, they called him Legatron in high school for a reason. I remember going down to his high school and I watched him work out going into his senior season, Michael, and it was just him out there by himself. But he was at the 40-yard line on a high school field, and he was just booming balls through the upright. And I'll never forget it. I thought, my goodness, this guy. And then for whatever reason, when he got here, it wasn't great. His leg, you know, there's all that kind of good stuff. He lost his job, or he didn't get the job because James Turner got it. And then just on and on and on. Last year, he had an injury. This year, he's the guy. And, boy, he was not only good there, but I thought punt-wise – he didn't have a super long one at punt, which is more impressive to me than anything, because he averaged 46 yards on four punts and his longest was 48. He's a weapon. He is a major weapon for Louisville. And I think Louisville did a good job. Look, they did a good job blocking the one return that Jawar got. He almost broke it a little bit. If he gets one more block, he breaks it for at least 20 more yards, maybe even more than that. So I'm excited to see what they did. And I love having Kevin Coleman back there returning punts. I thought it might be Quincy Riley. We had seen Amari Huggins Bruce. I think both those guys have got potential. But Coleman is sure-handed, and he is shifty. I really like him back there.
A couple quick notes on Brock Travelstead before we shut down. Four punts, as Jody mentioned. 46.25 was his average on four punts. That sits him currently number 20 in the nation in punting average, which is quite impressive. And, of course, when you drill four field goals, 33, 30, 22, and 38, he's currently tied for the nation's lead in field goal percentage and field goals made. So, heck of a start for Brock Travelstead at both the punting and the field goal kicking. Obviously, you know, does well, you know, kickoffs as well.
Yep. No, it was a good night for him, and a good night for the Cards, Michael, as they are going to get better this week. It's a Murray State team that they should – win the game. There's no question about they should win this game, and they should win it handily. And I think that's, you know, while you don't measure teams in these games, there is no spread. There won't be a spread in this game. If I were making a spread, I would say, what do you think, Michael? I would say Louisville by 28, Louisville by 31, maybe something like that. I think is what I would say. Louisville is 14-6 in this series. They've won the last six, and that of those six, I think they've scored. I think they've scored 50 or more in two or three of those six. So hopefully Louisville can get some things going this one and get some guys in the game that we haven't seen yet, and try to build that depth a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I'm curious to see how much or when we'll start seeing more of a rotation. I think we're going to see, you know, pretty much what we saw against Georgia Tech as far as the first team and the subs that we did see for probably the bulk of the first half. Now, obviously, if they start lighting it up pretty quickly, that may change. But, you know, I think Jeff probably wants to see, you know, work out those kinks, get rid of, you know, the mistakes that we've been talking about and be more fluid consistently throughout. And I think that that's the case. Yeah. I think they're going to win big, and looking forward to seeing those first team guys, you know, make that next step forward in their season while also getting a chance to see some of the youngsters and some of the other guys on the depth chart.
Yep. It's Louisville's home opener. Get out there. There are, as far as I understand, as far as today, earlier today, there are 42,000 tickets that are out. Which is quite a bit. That's a lot. And so there's 42,000 that are out as of Monday of the early in game week. So that means there's going to be quite a few more that are out before game time. It's a blackout. Get out there and let's have some fun on opening night at LNN Stadium. For Michael McCammon, I'm Jody Demling. This has been our weekly edition of the Cards Cast. We will do a game day edition with some picks later on in the week, and then we'll be back next Monday with the Cards Cast.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the show?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the side. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.